Good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. And as usual, I'll remind you, join the mailing list. I have some major stuff happening this week. And so my emailing of the weekly stuff, my weekly newsletter has gone to the wayside. So apologies, but you should still join the mailing list. It's lots of fun. I put out a lot of other free content. So I apologize that my email has not worked out this week. I've been able to, somebody has reached out and has started helping me again with Canada Poly Shorts. So they're cutting out pieces of this show. And they're putting it up on YouTube again. So that's kind of neat. I'm excited to explore that. If you want to support the show, you can support the show by clicking on this Amazon link here. It won't cost you anything, but it'll help out the show. You can buy my book at this link here. You could sign up for the email newsletter here, and you can sign up for our weekly kitchen table talk. We sit around and we discuss the insanity that has become Canada, right? Why? Why did it happen? Well, I don't know. We did not stand on guard, I fear. You can buy my book without the ickiness of Amazon if you don't like Amazon on CanadaPoly.com, as well as do all of the other things I just mentioned and buy merch, monthly subscriptions, and other things like that. You can check out Locals, which is quite a good little platform. I upload my video there daily. I try to make it worthwhile. I don't know if it's worthwhile. We'll see. Holy smokeronies. There's so much stuff going on. I have a group of stories at the end that's kind of outer limitsy. Okay. It's kind of, you know, ooh, around the bend. So if you stick with me through that, that'll be kind of fun. It's not required viewing, but it kind of is, right? It kind of is. I feel like it speaks to the psychological warfare that is, or the constant bombardment of media, the media panic that is being fostered by the media, right? They're just like, man, you know what's scary? Everything, right? So this talks to that, right? It talks to that, and it's talking to that with regards to a learned person, somebody who is a national security expert, talking about the technology. And I think this was from 2014 and where he thinks it'll go. And then I've got another video from 1995 that I saw it yesterday and I thought, this is too much, but I have to talk about it. So it's in the outer limits portion of the video, which is at the end of the video. But first, we've got so much other stuff to get through. So let's get started. Real Canadian Superstore staff in Alberta vote 97% in favor of strike action. The only quote you need to know from this article is this. What are they going for with this? Right now, you don't need a vaccine passport to go into a grocery store. How long before that changes? They're going to remove cash after people who are unvaccinated aren't allowed to go into any stores, period, because, you know, they're scary. Except that, well, we're going to talk about breakthrough cases too. So holy smokeronies, it's a huge show. Hold on. Here is the only quote you need to know from the Edmonton Journal talking about the staff voting in favor of a strike action. What are they going for? Here it is. Quote, I talked to a cashier the other day. She said, quote, I work in a makeshift plexiglass terrarium. I'm scared. There's minimal enforcement of the rules. There's no mandatory vaccination of customers, and hundreds of people are pouring through the workplace daily. I'm seeing people terrified going to work in crowded public places, Hess said. Their billionaire bosses give them so-called hero pay and then took that away. It's almost like the employer saw it as a calculation error in their enormous profits. You've got the proletariat, you've got the upper class and the lower class, and you've got to separate them, right? They're rich bosses, right? Oh, yes. They're rich bosses that contribute nothing but the grocery store to community, right? I think that it's very, very interesting, these moves that they're making. You have to pay attention to that. They want you to pay attention to the cases and then talk about that. I'm saying, look at the policies that they're enacting, these snakes. They're not helping us. The policies that they're enacting are actually harming us quite a lot. Quite a lot. Look at what's happening in Britain. The gas prices are going through the roof. Transportation prices are going through the roof. It's making the way we live illegal. That's what it is. That's what it's doing. Colin DeMello says, Ontario's CMOH, Chief Medical Officer of Health, says that there have been growing pains related to the proof of vaccination program, but doesn't provide specifics. Shocking. He says the Vax Pass will avoid the likelihood of future restrictions. Do you think that that's true? I said yesterday to, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I said yesterday, like, if we just stayed flat, that might be a win. But we're not going to stay flat. There is a goal to this. We're in transit. We're moving from one place to another place, and we're not at the other place yet. It's we're in transit with what's happening, and it's a shock and awe transit. They're like, oh no, cases, look at that. Oh no, this, look at that. Oh no, that, look at that, right? Instead of dealing with wanting to go to normal. We're not going back. We're not going back, guys. We're in transit to whatever new normal looks like. But apparently in this new normal, the Vax Pass will avoid the likelihood of future restrictions. How's that again? The vaccine, does the vaccine prevent transmission? Oh, it doesn't. Did they just shut down the Broadway production of Aladdin because of breakthrough cases in a 100% vaxxed cast, 100% vaxxed crew, 100% vaxxed audience situation? And did they shut it down in one day? Oh, yes, they did. I've got the news. I've got the link for that for you in just a minute. Breakthrough cases, right? But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because we're in transit. We're on the way from one place, a free and democratic society, to another place, a totalitarian medical dictatorship where if you don't take your jab, you lose your job, and then they starve you out. And then, well, what do you think happens next? Like I said, we're in transit, right? We're moving to something else. Come October 16th and then October 31st, we have dates. These dates are deadline dates. And once the deadline date passes, something happens, like more people lose their rights. On October 22nd, we've got the vaccine passport QR code coming in, bleep, 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 right? As soon as that happens, they can take the next step. It's easy to separate the wheat from the chaff then. And then we start saying, here's the rhetoric they'll use. The unvaxxed are dangerous to the vaccinated, and or the vaccinated are dangerous to the unvaxxed, whatever, but probably blaming the vaccinated because that's the MO. The unvaccinated are dangerous to the vaccinated. And so for the safety of the people who complied, we have to, for your safety, citizen, remove these people to a very comfortable, very lovely hotel where they have to stay in the hotel until they decide to comply with our very reasonable removal of their basic rights. Yes, this is weird. And like, I hope that I'm wrong. I really do. I really hope that I'm wrong. But it looks really obvious. Like, it looks as obvious as if you're watching a chess master at a mall playing an 11-year-old, right? And you can see, and if you're interested in that, and you can see how the chess game is playing out, and he's four moves to checkmate. That's where I think we are. That's where I think we are. And it's like boiled frogs are like, checkmate, what's that? Right? Holy smoke. So, future restrictions. The Vax Pass will avoid the likelihood of future restrictions. Okay, just a quick thing here. It's just, I mean, you know, I'm an idiot, but bear with me. Me and my idiocy, okay? The masks didn't work. We're still wearing them. They had no criteria for removing the mask mandate, okay? The distancing doesn't work. The cases are still going up, and we're still doing it, and it doesn't seem to work. The closed borders don't seem to work. We seem to continue to get cases. How are closed borders closed when we're continuing to import immigrants at a clip that Canada hasn't seen in, oh, generations? I don't know. Anyway, closed borders, if you want to believe that. That doesn't work. The vaccine itself, just the vaccine, doesn't work. They told us it would work. They told us it was the exit strategy. Now it's not the exit strategy. You know what's going to work? Vaccine passports. What's the success metrics for the vaccine passports again? Did anybody ask about that? Anybody know? Anybody understand what the vaccine success metrics look like? Because it looks like the same thing as the mask. They're not going to tell us what the success metrics are because there are no success metrics because we're in transit. We are moving from a free and open democratic society to a totalitarian medical dictatorship where you have to take your shot. Or they're going to starve you out. Okay? Right? It's such a slippery slope, right? And it's so easy to watch, right? Four moves to checkmate. Moderna is the vaccine the feds made the CAF, the Canadian Air Force, take under threat of being labeled undeployable. If they didn't take it, their careers would be stalled. Okay, the Ontario government is now recommending the use of Pfizer over Moderna for 18 to 24-year-old males. You know the military. How many 18 to 24-year-old males are in the military taking Moderna? Because if they didn't, they would have a potential to lose their job. How many people were injured by this move? Very interesting. Anyway, the Ontario government is now recommending the use of Pfizer over Moderna for 18 to 24-year-old males due to findings that Moderna has a 1 in 5,000 risk of myocarditis for the category. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange that you'd think that, like, if it was injuring people, they'd stop it. But now they're just like, oh no, we just won't give that to young people. Like, what if it's just seen in young people? What if the heart damage is there? Is there a mild case of myocarditis? Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, you know, it was just a little heart attack? I mean, I guess I have. People have lived through heart attacks, right? Myocarditis. is not a heart attack. It's treatable. But is it something that is recoverable? Do you get back what you lost? Right, like sometimes after a heart attack, they say you got to take it easy for 6 weeks, and you're never gonna, you know, go on a roller coaster again because you know, if pregnant women, people who've had heart attacks, don't go on this Top Gun or whatever, right? Is that like that, or no? Is it not permanent? Because if it's causing permanent damage in a certain subset of people, how is the risk benefit better? I have a 0.003% chance of not surviving this, and I have a higher percent chance of getting, well, I don't know if I have a higher percent chance of myocarditis. I don't think the data they're giving us would allow me to accurately figure out my chances. So anyway, here's the CTV Toronto news article about the government now recommending that people between ages of 18 to 24 receive the Pfizer COVID-19. So I said, didn't it used to be get the first shot offered to you, right? Team AstraZeneca, right? Like, what's his name? Colin DeMello. He had his arm rolled up for, or his sleeve rolled up for AstraZeneca. All of the mayors, right? Like Cam Guthrie and the councillors in Guelph, they were all getting AstraZeneca. And I was like, when it came out that it caused blood clots, I heard people were still going out to get it and then saying, well, I've got, you know, 15 days left and I'm monitoring for blood clot symptoms. And I'm like, I'm not even monitoring for COVID symptoms. Like, what? You're monitoring for blood clot symptom? What is wrong? This is supposed to help you. So I think that it's interesting. And like, here is a little, somebody put this together and I saved this and on my website, for whatever reason, I saved it twice because I thought it was so important. And I thought maybe it got lost. And thankfully, I just opened up a chat that not that I wasn't going to open, but I thought maybe it's in here because I couldn't find it for the life of me. But through this wild ride that's been COVID, we've had a whole bunch of people weigh in on the Pfizer and Moderna interchangeable idea. These are supposed to be intelligent people, right? Like Isaac Bogoch is one of the TV doctors, right? He's a doctor that people should listen to, blue checkmarked and all that. He says, with an abundance of caution, the Ontario government is recommending people 18 to 24 be immunized with the Pfizer vaccine instead of the one made by Moderna due to the concerns of higher risk of myocarditis or pericarditis. And then so he's reporting the news. And here's David Fisman. And he says, apparently this needs to be said. Pfizer and Moderna are interchangeable, with a terrible ANSI drawing. goodness gracious me. Anyway, here's Alex Wong, who's a doctor. He says, if it's good enough for him, well, you know, Justin Trudeau has two doses of mRNA recommended, preferred in all situations, regardless of your first dose. Pfizer and Moderna remain equivalent and interchangeable. Sure. Like these are people pushing something that is now false. Right, it's the same thing as the AstraZeneca thing. It's safe, except for, you know, that blood clot thing. But we're just going to send it to third world countries. So, cool? No, it's not cool. No, how do you say no to that? How do you say, dear government, please stop taking our tax dollars and sending damaging things to other countries? Thanks. Right? How do you do that? Anyway, both Pfizer and Moderna are interchangeable, says Dr. Dina Hinshaw, and it's safe to mix doses. We continue to strongly encourage everyone to book the first appointment they can get. Vaccines are readily available at pharmacies and AHS waiting for you. Yeah, except that out of all of the vaccines, only Pfizer hasn't had something that has been like drastically tied to it, that like the myocarditis, I guess, is tied to Moderna, although I'm pretty sure it happens in people who've had Pfizer as well. The blood clots are an AstraZeneca thing. I think they all have been rumored to cross the brain-blood barrier and been rumored to be transmitted through breast milk and through umbilical cord to a baby. How do people know? If you are a professional and you tell people this AstraZeneca shot, totally safe. It's 100% safe. And then a whole bunch of people get blood clots and you're like, see this Moderna shot? Totally safe. It's totally safe. Forget about the AstraZeneca shot. We're not going to talk about that anymore. It was not safe. And whoops. But here's this Moderna shot. And then myocarditis. And they go, and they get away with it too. And then they say, here's this Pfizer shot. Time to take your Pfizer shot. It's totally safe. What's wrong with you, you crazy person? What's wrong with you? Why don't you trust us? Why don't you trust us? And then you say, what about the, like, didn't AstraZeneca cause blood clots? And they say, oh, well. These things happen when we're moving so fast. And then you say, yeah, but didn't like Moderna cause all of these blood or these heart issues? And then they start trying to gaslight you. it's wild. It's not just happening here too. I'm gonna, here's I think this is, no, here. I'm gonna show this and then we're gonna go through breakthrough cases because I think it's important. But here's, it's not just happening here. It's happening in the UK. Exactly the same thing. Listen to this woman, here we go.
This all comes on the back of months and months of government lies. Absolutely no other way to state it. We had months of the government saying there were no plans for COVID passports. It was a conspiracy theory. There were no plans. It wasn't going to happen. Don't even think about it. What rubbish. Look where we are now. They're about to be, there's not even a vote, they're about to be imposed in Scotland and Wales. You can guarantee once Tory party conference is over and Boris Johnson has shirked the row within his own party, he's going to do the same here in England. So there are good reasons for people to be suspicious. Not only has the government lied about the fact that there are plans to do this, they're lying about the evidence base, because there isn't one. There isn't one. So.
Yeah. Holy smoke. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about breakthrough cases. So not only does AstraZeneca and Moderna potentially harm you, but the vaccine itself doesn't really do all that much as far as I can tell. Okay, here's Disclosed TV. This is the Aladdin news I was teasing earlier. Breakthrough cases have canceled tonight's performance of Aladdin on Broadway just one day after the show reopened for the first time in 18 months. Ha, it's an economic weapon. It's an economic weapon to destroy our economy. They're going to use it to say, we can't do the things that we used to do because it's going to get you sick. And if you do it, you're a dangerous person. And we're going to put you in an isolation facility paid for by the people who are still employed by the government. It's all government money, right? Education paid for by government, right? Shh. Print that money, keep the Ponzi scheme going. Incredible. It's an economic weapon. Here is a guy who got COVID and he is double vaxxed. He says he got his entire family sick. He says, I'm not happy about this. Here we go. The coughing is just terrible at the beginning of this, so apologies about that, but here we go.
2021, I am fully vaccinated. I caught COVID. Getting over COVID. I've infected my dad. I've infected my mom, who are both vaccinated. My son, 14 years old, has both of his Pfizer shots. Now has COVID. I've infected my ex-wife. I've infected my daughter. I've infected my family. My kids, people I love most, and I'm fully vaccinated. I got sick, I went in, got tested, my test came back negative because my viral load wasn't high enough. Because I'm fully vaccinated, my viral load didn't get high enough for the test to test positive. So I infected everybody that I love.
They were talking about how vaccinated people get tested with a lower CT. So he's saying that his test didn't show, right? Didn't show that he was positive. So not knowing that he had COVID, he infected everybody that he loved. And everybody that he loved is vaccinated too. Now, going back to the beginning of the video, I am not surprised that he infected everybody that he loved. Does he wash his hands? Oh my goodness. Regardless, it's not so good. It's not so good when things work out like that, right? Here is Golden Pup talking about 23 deaths in fully vaccinated people. They're all in people 60. Oh, I guess one death in 50 and over. I think it's all 60 and over actually in the deaths. But 23 people died who were vaccinated. But it's funny because it's very easy to say, well, you know, they're very old, and so that was probably going to happen anyway, vaccine or no vaccine. But who did the Nazi regime target first? The old, the frail, the sick, the infirm, right? And then a different subgroup of people, if you're interested, before they got to the Jewish subgroup of people. So does that map? I know an anecdotal story, a friend of my family's, who's, I think I mentioned this yesterday, whose family member got a third dose against the wishes of the legal guardian, And so there's a legal framework in place for this person, and their guardian and their decision maker is outside, is not that person, and so is not the person who was given the third jab. And like, what's happening is well outside of the norm, but stopping it does not seem likely. It seems very unlikely, in fact. It's very interesting, very jarring. So I don't know what's going on. I can't imagine what the motivation for throwing out the historical precedent of consent in Canada. It's not like it's not like it was new, right? So it's a very strange thing. Roman Baber's talking about how we have to tone down the rhetoric. He's asked a question, and his response is tone down the rhetoric. Here's that exchange. Here we go.
All right. What do you say to vaccinated transit riders and workers who think that the union's directive endangers their lives?
Well, the vaccine was never meant to prevent transmission. The point of the vaccine was to significantly reduce bad outcomes, and thankfully it does. So we should be promoting the effectiveness of the vaccine instead of being mean to folks. So get vaccinated to get the protection that the vaccine actually offers, but don't force anyone to do anything against their will. And I would urge public health, and I would urge Premier Ford to ask folks to cut down on the rhetoric and not suggest that anyone who's unvaccinated is risking anyone's lives.
All right. What do you say to vaccinated trans?
I think he's got a point. I think the rhetoric being used is very dangerous and very divisive. It does not help. And today's the reconciliation thing. I think this is more divisive. You know what would help? Clean water, bud. Like, thanks for the day off and all that, or whatever. I don't even think it's a day off. But I think that probably, you know, clean drinking water. And stop playing games. That'd be nice. Mandates. Wilfrid Laurier professors speak out about open letter regarding vaccine mandates. Professor William McNally, and David Haskell from Wilfrid Laurier speak out about their open letter. I wanted to show you. I'll show you the last 25 seconds of this. The reason I'm showing you the last 25 seconds is because it's indicative of how administrations, how people who are against whatever's happening, against the vaccine mandates, are dealt with. They say they responded to the letter. So they're talking about a letter that was sent, and there was a response from the university that didn't actually engage with any of the arguments. And that's how they get around you. They'll just not engage with the argument. They're just going to completely ignore it as if it did not exist, and then dismiss you. And that's what's happening to these people. Here we go.
Your request to have the mandate rescinded is not going to be, it's not going to change our minds at all. They really didn't respond to any of our arguments. They just said, we're not going to listen to them.
And the reason, yesterday I played a little clip from Matt Walsh addressing a school board in his, I think it's a Chicago school board. And he was talking about how like shameful, he said, shame on you for, he said, I would say thank you for letting me speak, but you tried to prevent me from speaking, so I'm here anyway, basically, ha ha. But he said, the reason you don't want me to speak is because your position is indefensible, and you know it's indefensible. And that's the reason they are responding to Haskell like that. That's the reason they're responding to people like me the way they are, because their position is not defensible. They know it. They're breaking the law. But the law doesn't matter. The law's in flux. We're in transition. Sorry, we are. And if we don't stop it, like, somebody's got to pull the emergency brake, because if we don't stop it, we're going there, right? And it does, I said before, sometimes, right, it depends on the vehicle you use to get there, right? But you're still going to the same place, right? If you get in a nice Corvette or you get on a tram, but you end up at where, Auschwitz is probably the easiest example, right? You don't want to be there. It doesn't matter how you got there, right? Like, so yeah, scary stuff, scary, scary, scary stuff. And that's the way they shut people down, right? Like, if they're just not going to engage, and everybody at the board level knows it, and they remove people who disagree. And how do they know if you disagree? Well, they look up your social media, right? There you go. Better to be anonymous, but then if you're anonymous, you can't gather like-minded people, right? So it's a catch-22, Mike McMillan says, you don't destroy people's businesses, get them terminated from their jobs, create mass financial hardship, and strip people of their fundamental rights because you care about their safety. This isn't about you. It's about them. It's about control, actually. Very, very interesting. Think about that. Is this temporary? Is this temporary if your business is closed? Is this temporary if a business that your family built for 150 years is gone now? Like, is that temporary measures? Is this a reasonable response from the government? Really? Do you think so? Like, is this about health when they're doing that? No, it's not. It's not. The rate of major depression, already high in Canada prior to the pandemic, thanks to our winter, right, has doubled over the past 18 months. And we're going into Christmas now, wintertime now. End of life care now available from Guelph Wellington Paramedics. This seems not good. This seems like a line you don't want to cross, right? Local paramedics have launched a new program offering end-of-life care for patients at home. According to a September 29 news release, Guelph Wellington Paramedic Services' new palliative care program provides paramedics with access to new medications to support end-of-life care and transportation for patients to the hospital if an emergency arises. We believe the palliative care program will improve the patient comfort at the end-of-life stage and increase support for families, Leanne Swantko, Deputy Chief of Guelph Wellington Paramedic Services, states in the release. My concern isn't necessarily for people who are utilizing this for a situation where, somebody's alone, dying in their bed and they're in their last hours type deal and you don't want to move them to the hospital and be that disruptive. I'm not worried about that. That's not what I'm concerned about, right? I think that there's probably an argument to be made that that's a good thing. But there's an argument to be made that you could easily abuse that situation, abuse that framework to, you know, say there's a kid who inherits a lot of money if the old man kicks off. And, you know, the kid and the old man haven't been getting along all that well. And the old man kind of depends on the kid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So, is there a situation where that could be abused? Man, I've seen way too many Matlocks and Murder, She Wrote to think that it can't. Right? Like, and I've seen real situations too where sons or daughters get, what is it? Signing authority, there's a legal term for it. Hold on, let me think about it. Power of attorney. I've seen, I don't know if it was real life or like somebody we knew or somebody on TV. I can't remember. But, you know, a kid had the power of attorney and then sold his parents' house. And it's like, for the money. And it's like, what? What kind of crazy world do we live in? So, like, there are nefarious things that happen. So I'm more concerned with the exploitation of the loophole rather than the actual delivery of the service. But there's a lot of complicated factors with that discussion. So Dr. Dina Hinshaw takes a vacation after claiming to be too busy for trial. I think that they're maybe not telling us the truth, you know, about everything. Everything. Dina Hinshaw takes vacation. Dr. Dina Hinshaw is too busy to testify in defense of her health orders, but not too busy to take a vacation during the days that she was scheduled to testify in court. Isn't that kind of one of those things where they're just sitting there going like this and daring you to be upset about it, right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? I don't know. Ezra Levent says, the FDA just ordered Pfizer to do more studies on the side effects of their COVID vaccine on children's hearts. They ordered those studies to continue until 2027. But governments around the world are mandating this injection right now. I think that that's interesting. I thought, and I'm glad that I'm wrong. This is a situation where I'm wrong. I thought that this was definitely going to get rubber stamped and that we were going to be dealing with NACI coming out this week or next week saying, you know, due to FDA approvals, we're rolling this out before Christmas. And I thought that they would definitely be removing unvaccinated children from the classroom. I feel like that's the move. I feel like that's the one. That's what they're going to try and go for. With this, it seems like maybe not. So it looks like till 2027, by that time, things will be so entangled. If we don't get out of this, things will be so entangled, there'll be no getting out of this. But here is the FDA PDF, and it's from fda.gov, if you want to check out the link, and it says 2027, right? So sub-study to progressively assess the incidence of subclinical myocarditis following administration and second dose of Covmentary, which is the Pfizer BioNTech, in a subset of participants 5 through 15 years. And then they want the studies to happen until May 31st, 2027. That's interesting. 5-year follow-ups. This is the kind of stuff that I would expect from a rollout of a vaccine, like a general service rollout of a vaccine. But you know, expect these days. Holy smoke! I don't think I didn't expect this. How does one describe Jagmeet Singh? He's like Stefan Dion, but without the charisma. He's like Michael Ignatieff, but without the commitment to Canada. That's the most wonky political joke that has ever happened on this show. Because you have to know who Michael Ignatieff is, who's like a failed liberal leader from, what, 2005? And Michael Ignatieff failed in the liberal leadership race because he was accused of basically being American, right? Because he was teaching in the United States and he really didn't have too many Canadian roots. And everybody was like, well, they just imported this American guy to run the liberal campaign. So Jagmeet Singh is Michael Ignatieff without the commitment to Canada. Ha ha, right? Like, ba-dum-bum. You have to know so much to understand that joke. Anyway, and he's like Justin Trudeau, but without the intelligence. I should have led with that. Oh my goodness. That was hilarious. Okay, but what is Jagmeet doing? Jagmeet Singh is demanding a federal takeover of Alberta. What? Yeah, for real. These are third world dictator style games. Okay, yeah, I guess. The situation in Alberta is dire, says Jagmeet. ICUs are on the verge of collapse. You know who would be better at running Alberta? Jagmeet Singh, right? Like, oh, just over, would you call him overlord, overseer, overseer Singh? I don't know, man. ICU's on the verge of collapse. Jason Kenney has demonstrated a failure of leadership. So Jagmeet wants to come in and be the premier. Holy cow. While ignoring the pleas of his health experts. In the absence of such leadership, I am urging Mr. Trudeau and the federal government to intercede and help save lives. Won't somebody please think of the children? Right? Oh, clutch those pearls. I'll read the top paragraph. It'll give you a flavor of the letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter. It's... Quote, it is with the utmost urgency that we write to you to request emergency support for the people of Alberta as the province copes with a disastrous fourth wave of COVID-19 and a provincial government who is either unwilling or unable to implement public health regulations that will prevent unnecessary deaths, increase rates of infection, and with a very real risk of variant development and the unprecedented and massive collapse of our cherished public health care system. Everybody's talking about a healthcare collapse, but it's so weird that they're firing nurses. And Jagmeet Singh doesn't care about that. He wants to take over Alberta. Man, he doesn't care about the nurses. He's like, you know what? You know the scene in Star Wars where Anakin's talking to Padme about how he understands how, like, somebody just needs to rule it and figure these people out, right? Like, just Darth Vader himself is, like, channeling through Jagmeet Singh. Like, I just need to fix it for them. I'll just, you know, force choke them into submission, and then Alberta will be fixed, right? In the shadow or in the view of Jagmeet Singh. I just think it's such a strange thing. Dale Smith, who's like a Politico guy, I guess, he says, I'm not really sure what Jagmeet Singh suggests the federal government should be doing about Alberta. Just do something is hand waving. Well, it's hilarious. I mean, what does he want? Submit to my will. I just want to protect you. The Rachel Notley was saying that they should send people door to door. Like, really? Really? Like, the NDP, man, your totalitarian, like, underclothes are showing. Like, oh, right. Oh, Holy cow. French ex-president Nicolas Sarkozy, found guilty of illegal campaign financing of his unsuccessful 2012 re-election bid. Interesting. This whole thing was kind of weird. Sarkozy was a president in France in 2012-ish, and he was like married to a supermodel or something like that. There was like talk of a supermodel. He was very, you remember Berlusconi and his bongo bongo parties with the young girls? Anybody? Here, hold on a second. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Well, here's a quick flavor. I put Italy, bongo bongo party, and it auto-completed to Berlusconi. So I didn't have to spell his name. And it got its own Wikipedia reference, so that's good. Women describes Berlusconi's bunga bunga parties. And this is in USA Today. I remember seeing this. Yeah, like this guy's like 74, 75 at the time. And he'd have all these like very young girls. Anyway, it's a very, sorry. Ooh, X-rated. Sorry, I didn't see that. Right? So the bunga bunga parties were, this is like the highest level of Italian politics. Like, this was a big, big deal. And like 2 years after this, nobody cared. Nobody cared at all. I don't even think Berlusconi, like, there was no as far as jail time. I think he stepped down. He was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that. But it's incredible what happens. It's incredible what happens in the realm of the elites, right? Weird, wild and crazy things. Anyway, sorry, getting off topic, right? Bunga Bunga parties from, what, 2009 maybe? Ford government orders agencies to stop giving parents and community groups rapid COVID-19 tests. Are they reliable tests? I don't know. It seems like there's more to that, but it seems like one of the things that is a hallmark of this is we're always arguing about things on the edge, right? Like the heart and core of this, and I was trying to tell other people this for a long time, but the heart and core of this is they're trying to get a vaccine passport in. And then when they get the vaccine passport in, they're going to get a social credit score, right? Those unvaccinated people, we need to keep track of them. So they've got a low social credit score, but you, fully vaccinated person, you're great and we love you. You get your regular score and it gets all these benefits, right? And then they'll take the benefits away and then it'll just be like, you know, the slave, old-fashioned slavery. But it seems like the government is forcing situations where we don't talk about the main point. We talk about the niggling little details on the side. And then you get somebody who's like, oh, well, I think this little niggling detail is really important. And then somebody else is like, oh, well, this is really important about that aspect. And then you start talking about, you know, cases in ICUs versus breakthrough cases in unvaccinated. But all the data is shit. All the data is garbage. It doesn't matter. You could talk about it for 4 hours and then go and look at the actual like breakdown of the data where it says, you know, 41 people died with a positive test within 28 days and then, you know, get into the comorbidities and everything and realize that the data is shit, right? Like it doesn't matter. So you can have all these arguments, but it just doesn't matter. And I think that's the point. It's to take you off of the goal. So if I have a job interview or if I have an important meeting, I'll take a piece of paper and I'll draw a circle right in the middle of it. I'll draw a circle and I'll write down my most important point. And if we ever get off topic, if who I'm speaking with dances me away from the topic that I want to talk about, that is important to me, that I want an answer from, then I look down at my piece of paper. And if we're not talking about something related to that circled thing, I'm like, hold on a second. Let's get back to the thing that I want to talk about because this is it. And then like within that circle, there could be like one or two or three or four different things that you want to talk about. But fundamentally, it's like a title and then a one word trigger, one or two word or one sentence trigger that you can be like, oh, I want to talk about this and then this and then this. But if you start getting off topic, you come back to the main center. It makes people very crazy because a very good tactic is to walk people away from what they're talking about. And human memory, we're crap at remembering. We're really terrible. If you have a phone call and you don't write down what the intent of that phone call is, but at the beginning, you'll be like, oh, why did I call you again? Right? So like, yeah, man, it's a thing. And it's a tactic they'll use to shut people down, right? If you're an intelligent, articulate person and you're really angry about vax passports, they'll walk you away from that. At the end of the conversation, you could have a 40-minute conversation. You haven't got anything done, nothing. And that's the point, right? And they make you feel like you're heard and, oh, we're gonna really try. Bullshit. Lies. They're liars. Climate change is arson, it seems, in California anyway. Some people were saying the beast was proven to be in Alberta, the Fort Mac, I think is called the beast, was arson as well, but it's just rumor, they're saying. But I thought that it was proven that it was arson, but apparently it's still rumor that it's arson. Anyway, in California, Democratic governor of California stated that 90% of wildfires were man-made by accident or intent. Arson or, you know, whoops, sorry, I was having a cigarette and we were hiking the trail and, right? See you later. The workers who keep global supply chains moving are warning of a system collapse. Is this propaganda or is this a bellwether? Is this them telling us what's happening? We saw the October email last year that said supply chain issues would be hitting now. Supply chain issues are hitting now. Isn't that incredible what it was able to predict? So is this signaling, get ready? Or is this meaningfully reporting the news? It's CNN, right? So does that affect your credibility ranking, right? To me, like the 4 a.m. talking points are meant to drive the news, not inform people of the news, right? So it's, you know, very interesting. Very interesting. Here is Nice Mall, says Joe Warmington. Speaking of supply chain, nobody's going out. Nobody's going anywhere. Do you feel welcome anywhere? I really don't. I feel like business owners want me to come in, like a restaurant owners or whatever, but they're as anxious as an unvaccinated person? Why would they be as anxious as an unvaccinated person? Because if an unvaccinated person comes in, and if the Gestapo were there at the same time, then they've got a problem they've got to deal with that they previously didn't have to deal with before, and isn't any of their fucking job. It's not their responsibility whatsoever. They're there for sandwiches or pizza or whatever the heck it is, like Italian food or whatever. So it's very, very jarring to go into your job and be like, if a regular customer comes in and they're a regular person and they want to be served, I have to, follow all these protocols and blah, 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 blah. It's not COVID that's done this. It's the bad policies of our government. And look at this. I don't feel welcome anywhere because the anxiety is palpable. You can feel it. I can feel it. Can you feel it? Do you feel welcome? I'm interested if you feel welcome. I don't know. Tell me in the comments. Anywhere, right? Like anywhere. Here is protesters disrupt London school board meeting with anti-vaccine mandate message. So again, London, Thames Board School District, Thames, TDSB, I guess, which is not Toronto District. I think it's Thames District. Thames Valley District School Board, TVDSB, excuse me, voted to write a letter to the province, or no, they postponed the vote because of so many protesters, but they wanted to write a letter to the province saying that they support vaccine mandates. Previously, it was reported that they were voting to enable vaccine mandates for the COVID-19 vaccine, but that's not the school board's job. They can't do that. So they're voting to write a letter about it, and the motion got removed. But last time, like I said, it was not just a letter about it. It was actually addressing the school board issues, etc. Actually addressing the school board actually wanting to put in COVID-19 vaccine mandates for eligible students. Eligible students covers anybody that the government says is eligible. So that's, sneaky, 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 right? So lots of parents are out protesting this. Good. I'm glad to see it. The news is trying to make it about the parents being bad and misinformed. But the thing is, the parents don't want this happening, period. Okay, so I'm glad people are aware of what's going on to a certain degree. Hundreds of Ontario businesses defy vaccine passport rules. Go back to my earlier, do you feel welcome? I don't know. I don't really feel all that welcome. 33% of Australian police officers are not having the jab. 33%? Everything we are told is lies. 33 again, the NWO magic number for deceiving the general public. This means it's way more than 33% refusing. So in Australia, there are police refusing the jab. That's interesting news. Sacky, this is a weird clip. White House confidence of an infrastructure vote. This is why we all came to Washington. It's like an episode of a TV show. Maybe the West Wing if something good happens. Maybe Veep if not. She's kind of off-putting, isn't she? I don't know, an off-putting person. Okay, here's the Outer Limits part of the show. I remember watching the Outer Limits when I was a kid, and I thought that it was like one of those shows I shouldn't be watching. And then it wasn't just there were a few shows that were entertaining about it, but overall, Sliders was better. Okay, 1995 speech. This guy, I saw this. At the beginning of the show, I talked about how this was a bombardment, a psychological war, a way to move the public without moving the public consciously, right? And so the zeitgeist out there is such that people, that I don't feel comfortable, that I don't feel welcome, right? And I think that's on purpose. And the reason that I think they can create a situation like that is because of these three videos. This is a short video that jogged my memory a little bit. It's in French, but I'll read the English translation. And I had heard about this from this guy, actually. And so this is the full lecture. This is a 55-minute lecture. At minute 50, he starts talking about, actually 43 minutes in, I think he starts talking about memory. At minute 50, it's a very interesting anecdote. And he's talking about ways to implant memories in humans. And not necessarily talking like that DiCaprio movie. What was that DiCaprio movie? It doesn't matter. With the dreams, right? A fake memory can be planted just by suggestion. It's that easy to implant a fake memory. So I found this guy's the full lecture, and I probably watched more of it than I should. I watched like 30 minutes just in the background because I was looking for a specific part. And then I went and found this video that was cut down from the longer video talking about basically how you do exactly what I was talking about, how you implant memories and all of that stuff. This long video is totally worth it. I think it was done in 2014. I remember around that time coming across it. But he's speculating, this gentleman in the longer video is talking about where the technology is going to go and what technology they currently have. And what technology they currently had in 2014, terrifying. What they've got now, probably way worse, probably way more terrifying. Okay, here's the 1995 speech talking about, talking about what jogged my memory for this. And I just think it's an interesting thing to speculate on. I think the world that we inhabit is much stranger than we possibly could ever imagine. And I don't know where I fall on this. Is this believable? Probably. Plausible, certainly plausible. You've got parasites that can change human behavior. You've got medication. I worked in children's mental health. So we are trained. We know about situations where if you give kids a medication, they can drastically change their personality, in a short period of time too. And we're told to watch for that. Could this happen? Yeah, sure it could. Is it happening en masse? What I want you to take away from this is how easy it is. We don't have to go to the point of injecting people with something in order to get them to be a receiver, to have some kind of result from that happening. They talk about how that's possible, okay? But they talk about how easy it is that you don't even need to go there. You don't need that to influence people at the level we've seen. So, but they talk about injecting people, and that's weird. Here we go. This is the 1995 speech. Here we go. Hold on. It's not going to play. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Of the bloodstreams of mankind, creating intentional infections. This will be enforced via laws that will make Vlaskinations mandatory, and these Vlaskines will make possible to control people. The Vlaskines will have liquid crystals that will become hosted in the brain cells, which will become micro receivers of electromagnetic fields.
Too far, right?
Where waves of very, very low frequencies will be sent. And through these low frequency waves, people will be unable to think. You'll be turned into a zombie.
Okay, so there's that one. And I thought, I've heard of that. I heard of it in this lecture. So watch the long lecture if you're interested. I'm gonna just show a couple of minutes of this one. The echoey sound I think is, I don't know why it's like that, but it's honestly worth the listen. Here we go.
This is actually having one animal learn something and seeing and recording that activity and put it into the sensory cortex of the second animal. And that animal acquires the knowledge. From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain, you can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventnor's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. It sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called DREADS. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product. As long as you know the DNA sequence, you can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it. That may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains. These people have figured out how to hide imagery in the DNA of bacteria. You can have the information reproduced in a string form as a form of a protein. The new way to hide information is going to be in DNA. This is the first experiment showing what imagery you can hide in bacteria. This is the latest. It's a GIF file. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing with DNA. Merging DNA systems with quantum computing will be really quite an amazing and both lethal threat. The next thing I wanted to mention to you is memory. Can we erase memory? Can we modify memory? Can we change memory? The short answer is yes.
Huh.
This is actually...
Like, does any of that resonate? If you look at that and look at what they were talking about, and if you believe this is from 1995, maybe not. Could have been produced yesterday with a guy on a green screen and, you know, easy, right? No problems. Is this plausible, what he's talking about? Watch the whole talk. Is it plausible? Is it doable? Is it doable now? Is it doable then? 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Why the push for 100% compliance with vaccination? Why the push? Why do you think? Outer Limits over. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingWisely.co. And have a wonderful, wonderful day.